We have any young ones that want to come up? Any kids that want to come up front real quick? Anybody want to come up front? And stay in your seat? All right. I was pretty disappointed this morning. I didn't send. She willingly went. My wife went to the store today and to get me a nice sweet treat, and I was so upset. Do you see what's wrong with this? Can you see what's wrong with this? You see what's wrong with that? Okay, well, we can take that off. What's wrong with it? I was so disappointed. Can you believe that? Look at that. It has a hole in it. It's a nice sweet treat, and it has a hole in it. I am missing out on an entire piece of sugary goodness. I'm missing it. It has a hole in it. It's so disappointing. I mean, I tell you what, if you got a donut, somebody handed you a donut, would you be happy about having a hole in it? What? I don't care why it has a hole in it. It has a hole in it. It was made that way. They make donuts with holes in them, but you miss out on all. Look at how. Oh, my whole day is ruined. No, if they left it in there and cooked it, it would be a lot better. You know what? Here's the deal. That's too much sugar. That's something I never thought I would hear coming out of the mouths of Sammy. That's too much sugar. No, all right. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty silly to be upset about missing the hole in the donut, right? Because I have all of this around it, right? And the thing is, a lot of times in life, we focus on the hole. We get so upset about the stuff we're missing out on. We get so upset about the things that we feel like we're not getting instead of just being thankful for what we do have. Because I have a big treat right here, don't I? I have a good donut right here. It's a Krispy Kreme. Like, you don't get much better than Krispy Kreme, right? And a little pan of donuts. They're pretty good too. But anyway, I've got a lot here that I can be thankful for, and I can enjoy this if I don't focus on the whole. And if all I did was focus on the whole, I'd miss out on all this goodness, wouldn't I? And there's a saying, it's a fun saying, an old saying that says, in life, make it your goal to focus on the donut and not the whole. Right? And we need to be thankful. And this week, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. And it's one day a year, but we as Christians know that it's more than just a day, right? That we learn to be thankful for all that God does for us and all that God gives us and not sit there and worry about the things that we feel like he's holding back on us, all right? We celebrate the goodness that we have in our life all the time, okay? And we're going to go off to junior church.
Brother. It's good to see everybody here this morning. If you will, please open your Bible to Psalm 147. If you will, please, 147. We are continuing our series on life lessons from Psalms. It started out as a November series. But next week, we're actually going to just switch gears, and we're going to start into the Christmas season, and so I'm going to be starting a Christmas series starting next week. As we all know, you know, this Thursday is Thanksgiving. Now, is it just me, or does Thanksgiving Day seem to get lost in the holiday shuffle?
Yeah,
it does, doesn't it? I mean, you know, during the first week of September, Walmart started putting Halloween stuff on their shelves. First week of September, maybe even the last week of August. I'm not sure. But they put out the Halloween candy, costumes, jack-o'-lantern, skeleton and witches, you know, orange and black decoration. And then you walk past Halloween, just a couple of aisles, and it's Christmas, you know? Jingle bells. I mean, shelves and shelves of wrapping paper, ornaments, decorations, you know, and Christmas tree displays. But I have never seen, you know, any shelves or displays designated for Thanksgiving Day, unless it's the frozen turkey aisle, okay? That may be the only one. But so Thanksgiving as a holiday just kind of takes a back seat. But to us as Christians, it's on the forefront, isn't it? It's on the forefront. I want you to listen to the psalmist as he sings about what he's thankful for. Listen what he says, Psalm 147. Praise the Lord. Say that with me. Praise the Lord. How good is it to sing praises to our God? How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord in mighty power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor His delight in the legs of the man. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Extol the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for He strengthens the bars of your gates and blesses your people within you. He grants peace to your borders and satisfies you with the finest of wheat. He sends His command to the earth and His word runs swiftly. He spreads the snow like wool and scatters the frost like ashes. He hurls down His hail like pebbles. Who can withstand the icy blast? He sends His word and melts them and stirs up His breezes and the waters flow. He has revealed the word to Jacob, His laws and decrees to Israel. He has done this for no other nation. They do not know His name. So what are we to do? Praise the Lord. I love this psalm. You know, we do not know who actually wrote this psalm, but it is written for one purpose only, and that is to praise God for His greatness and be ever thankful for His many blessings that He gives us. And again, he begins in verse 1 saying, with the words, praise the Lord, and he ends in verse 20 with, praise the Lord. I mean, the psalmist lists one reason after another why God is to be praised and thanked for all that He does for us. So what is it? What is it that the psalmist wants us to know about God that warrants our praise and thanksgiving? Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, he wants us to know the power of God. Say that with me. The power of God, verses 1 through 6. Friends, our God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. The psalmist said in verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. I mean, he is the creator of all things. Everything that the human eye can see and all the magnificent expanse of the universe that we will never be able to see, God just simply spoke it into existence. In fact, the psalmist says in verse 4 that he determines the numbers of the stars and calls them each by name. I grew up, as I've shared with you before, in the country about 35 miles west of Oklahoma City. And we were the second house built on a dirt road with no name that dead-ended a mile down. And in the back of our house were thick woods. And we kids, five of us, I had four siblings. Five of us would just go outside and play out in the woods all the time. I mean, that was our playground, was the woods. But a little way out into the woods was a clearing. And we would often lie on the ground and look up at the clouds during the day. Yes, kids, that's what we did before video games, okay? And then at nighttime, we would just gaze at the awe-inspiring beauty and majesty of the millions of stars twinkling in the sky. And it is a sight to behold that we just cannot see here in Indianapolis because of the ambient lighting. Now, astronomers estimate that there are 100 to 4 billion stars in our galaxy alone. And the Milky Way, our galaxy, is only one of billions of more galaxies in the universe. Now, our Almighty God doesn't have to estimate how many stars there are, because He knows exactly how many stars there are because He put them there. And not only that, He knows them by name. He knows the name of each and every star that He placed in the sky. I mean, we can't even begin to fathom the magnificent power of our Heavenly Father. I mean, just the thought, you know, Job had a lot of problems, didn't he? His friends come there thinking that they know all about God. You know, well, Job, we know what's happening here. You're a sinner, you know, so God is punishing you, you know. And then Job himself, even though all this stuff has happened to him, losing his kids, losing everything that he owned, has you know, what many believe is leprosy all over his body, Job thinks that he knows all about God himself. That is, until God spoke to him. In Job chapter 38, verse 2, God said this to Job, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge?" And Job ended up confessing to God in Job 42, 2 through 3. Job says, "God, man, I know that you can do all things. And no plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know." Friends, God is all-powerful. Amen? He's all-powerful. And yet the psalmist reminds us that even though God is all-powerful, that God who determines the numbers of stars in the sky and calls them each by name has a deep, loving concern for His people. In verse 3, the psalmist says, "God heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds." Now, in this context, the psalmist is referring to the children of Israel who had returned to their home in Jerusalem after being held in captivity by the Babylonian government for 70 years. And for those, you know, old enough who returned, who were old enough to remember, upon their return to Jerusalem, it just was not the same. It was not the same. The enormous gates and walls protecting the city had all been torn down. Their homes were demolished. The temple, their place of worship, had been desecrated and destroyed. And yet, people were just simply devastated as to what was happening to their city. And so, but yet God was concerned about them. And church, our all-powerful God still heals the brokenhearted. Amen? He still heals the brokenhearted. I mean, here we are dealing with so many things in this life. Man, when you turn on the news, wow. All the stuff that is happening in our world, all the stuff that is happening here in Indianapolis. And we need to understand that God loves us, and He heals the brokenhearted, and He heals the wounds. Were you in a broken place when you first gave your life to Christ? Were you in a broken place, Mark? Yeah. I mean, some here had a broken past. Some came from broken homes, broken families. I mean, some just plain broken. But God, in His awesome grace, put us all back together again. He gathered all the broken pieces of our lives, and He bound them up in love. He restored us to wholeness. And whatever, you know, heartbreak you're going through right now, I want you to understand, brother, sister, friend, that God can mend that broken heart. Amen? God can mend that broken heart. But then the psalmist continued that our Lord mighty, in verses 5 and 6, he says, Lord, mighty in power, sustains the humble, but He casts the wicked to the ground. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sadly, there are those in the world, maybe those in our life, some maybe in our circle, that just loves to make us miserable. They love to just do things to us because this is how they live their lives. And yet this passage says that God will cast the wicked to the ground. In fact, Paul reminds us in Romans 8, verse 31, he said, if God is for us, who can be against us? I mean, the supreme being, the creator of this universe, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords is for you and me. He is on our side. And since our all-powerful God is on our side, no one can be against us. No one. God will sustain us and cast the wicked to the ground. I mean, there are those days. There are those days in our lives when we think that evildoers are winning. You ever felt like that? Man, we just think that they're winning. I mean, there are those when we feel like that when they oppose Christ, that somehow they are pulling ahead of us. But yet the psalmist wants us to realize that we are not to fret, for God will avenge His people, and our enemies will receive their due. Just trust God. Amen? Just trust God. But then secondly, the psalmist tells us that he is thankful for the provision of God. Say that with me. The provision of God. Verses 7 through 20. Now in verse 7, the psalmist writes, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. And then he presents his list of blessings that God has provided for His children. He says here that he heals our broken hearts. He binds our wounds. He sustains us. He sustains the humble. He defeats our enemies. He supplies rain for the fields. He provides food for the cattle. He strengthens the bars of our gates, a picture of God's protection. He blesses our people, the psalmist said. He grants us peace. He provides food for our tables. He sends different seasons. He revealed His word to His people. And the psalmist is deeply thankful to God for all that He has done for the people of Jerusalem, and he sings His praises. You know, there's that old hymn that we used to sing years ago. Count your many blessings, what? Name them one by one, yeah. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Have you ever tried doing that? You'd still be counting, wouldn't you? I want us to understand that, first of all, brothers and sisters, we are to be thankful for our physical blessings, okay? We are to be thankful for our physical blessings. But the truth is, as Ben just pointed out a while ago, the truth is we complain more about what we don't have than thank God for what we do have. I mean, how many times have you stood before your closet? I don't know where your closet is in your bedroom. Maybe it's just right off the bedroom. We go into our bathroom, and there, then out of from the bathroom, is our closet. It is a fairly good-sized closet, you know. But we stand there in front of the closet, and we look through all of our clothes, you know, and we look here and there, and then we just keep looking, and then finally we say, there is nothing for me to wear. You ever done that before? There's just nothing to wear. I mean, how many times have you stood before your refrigerator or pantry looking at all the kinds of foods that are stacked up there and say, there is nothing in this house to eat? Yeah. Friends, we are so blessed. Who are you pointing at, Kid Nicky? Oh, yeah, hot dog man back there, yes. Yes. But we have been physically blessed in so many ways. Friends, if you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you have money in the bank, a few dollars in your wallet, and spare change in a dish, you are among the top 8% of the world's wealthy. According to Global Rich List, that calculates one's wealth compared to the rest of the world, even at the U.S. poverty level, one still makes more money than 89% of the world. I have befriended a minister in Kenya, Africa. I think I've talked about him before. I befriended him on Facebook. His name is Charles Murger Kamele. And he's partially supported by a preacher friend of mine in San Diego, Wayne Monroe. And that's how we made this connection. But he has established a little church. He's actually, what he does, he is a church planter. And he lives in Kenya, and he goes about and he plants churches and he ministers and pastors these churches for a while before he moves on to plant another church. But he established a little church of about 30 people that he calls the Redeemer Christian Church between Langus and Eldoret, Kenya. We were messaging each other on Facebook when he asked about our Thanksgiving holiday. And I, you know, briefly shared with him the history, you know, our history of Thanksgiving, and said it is a national holiday to remind us as a nation that we are to be thankful to God for his many blessings. And he said, you need a holiday for that? You need a holiday to be thankful? Wow. He wanted to know about our church. And I told him that we were a small church in a lower middle class neighborhood. He then shared with me about his congregation. Let's bring up that slide, if you will, please. He says, press on, Pastor. We are 30. We are 1-year-old church in a little slum near Eldoret town. Many people here are desperately poor, praying for those families. And then, you know, I told him that I was going to be preaching on, you know, how blessed we are compared to the rest of the world. And he then replied this. Yes, I wish they knew that, how blessed you are. You are truly blessed, brother. Here in Langus, kids go without food for up to 2 days because parents don't afford, they can't afford to buy food. No running water and electricity in many houses. Tell them again that you are blessed. I mean, not every one of us has the same physical blessings. Okay, we don't. But regardless of what we have, we are to be thankful to God. Amen? We're to be thankful to God. In fact, Paul reminds us of that very thing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, he said, give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. Say that with me. all circumstances, because this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will for us? To be thankful in all circumstances. Now, when it comes to our, secondly, when it comes to our spiritual blessings, no one is more blessed than God's people. No one. And in fact, Paul again, Ephesians 1 verse 3 this time, Paul said this. He says, "Praise be to God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I mean, if you are in Christ, you are abundantly blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every one of them. I mean, not a single one of them is left out. You know the same spiritual blessings that I have. You have the same ones I have. We all have the same blessings that every other Christian has, including the Apostle Paul, no matter how long they've been a follower of Christ, or no matter what position they may hold in the church. We all have the very same spiritual blessings. So brothers and sisters, let's stop complaining and start praising God for all that He has done for us. But then thirdly, the psalmist said, I want you to be thankful for the pleasure of God. Say this with me, the pleasure of God, verses 10 through 11. Now again, we just looked at our physical and spiritual blessings for which we are to be thankful. But did you know what God is thankful for? Do you know what God's thankful for? What He takes pleasure in? You and me. God takes pleasure in you and me. The psalmist says here, verse 11, he said, the Lord delights in those who fear Him, those who respect and revere Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love. Friends, our life is a miracle. We are a miracle. And our Creator delights in us. And even though God, you know, knows the name of each and every star, we are His greatest creation. He has created us in His image. Genesis 1 verse 27. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. Psalm 139 verse 13. He has engraved us on the palm of His hands. Isaiah 49 verse 16. He knows how many hairs are on our head. I don't have as much as I used to, but He knows how many I have left. You know, He knows. And He also knows us by name. John 10 verse 3. And what does God want from us? Yeah. I mean, He wants from us the same thing that everyone wants in a relationship. Love and respect. That's what God wants from us. I mean, that's what we want in our marriage, for our wife or husband to love and respect us. That's what we want of our children, to love and respect us and, you know, and to listen to us. And God is thankful and takes pleasure in those of us who fear Him. Who fear Him. Now this doesn't mean a terrifying fear of God, but what it means, it is those who respect and revere Him and are obedient to Him. And why wouldn't we be? Why wouldn't we respect and revere Him? Why wouldn't we be obedient to Him? I mean, after all, God has been so good to us, hasn't He? Man, He has been so good to us. He gave us His Son so that we can have eternal life. He provides for our physical needs. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. And really, man, the very idea that God, the Creator of this universe, takes pleasure in us and is thankful for us just blows me away. Man, it just blows me away. I mean, this very idea implies that I can do something that pleases God Almighty. I can supply something that fills Him with delight and thanksgiving. I want you to picture this, if you will. This Thursday on Thanksgiving Day, you're going to sit down at the dinner table and enjoy eating your turkey and dressing and pumpkin pie. And hopefully, you know, your family, your friends are going to be there. And you will all take some time to reflect on the things for which you are thankful to God. But on this Thanksgiving, I want you to do something just a little bit different. I want you to picture Jesus sitting in His heavenly banquet table and just kind of visualize Him looking down at the earth and leaning over to one of His angels and say, "You see that young man sitting on that front pew, Caleb? I am so thankful for that young man. That woman over there, Brenda Holmes, man, she delights me. I find such pleasure in this family." I mean, isn't that exactly what Jesus does? In Luke chapter 12, verse 8, Jesus said this. He said, "I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God." Every time you and I brag on Jesus, every time you and I praise His name, every time we tell others about Him, Jesus tells His angels of God about us, and He calls us by name. How blessed we are to have our Heavenly Father to take pleasure in us. This morning, this is what I want from you this morning. We're going to bring up that slide, if you will, please. I asked the question, how has God blessed you? So this is what I want you to do this morning. Using only one word, I want you to tell me, using only one word, tell me something about what are your physical blessings? Only using one word, what is a physical blessing that you are so thankful to God for? What, say it again? Health, okay. Job, age, said 100-year-old Elizabeth, age, okay. What, say it again?
Family,
marriage, anyone else? Say it again? Food, okay. Okay, Betty? Life, thankful for life, yeah, amen. Okay, now what I want you to do, use only one word, tell me a spiritual blessing that you are thankful for. Say it again. Joy, okay. Jesus. Say it again. Peace. Hope. Faith. Your church. Yeah. The Holy Spirit. Forgiveness. Man, we are truly blessed, aren't we? Man, when I said use only one word, you're thinking, really? Only one? You know? Because man, we can just, I mean, name them one by one. We can just keep naming them for a long time, can't we? But we are so deeply blessed. And Thanksgiving is on our calendar, Thanksgiving Day, every year. Fourth Thursday in November. But you see, really, for Christians, every day is Thanksgiving Day, isn't it? I mean, that's what the minister in Kenya when he said, you have to have a holiday for that? Because, man, he says, man, we ought to be thankful every day, every single day. The praise band is getting ready to lead us in worship, to lead us our invitation song. You know, we, again, are deeply, deeply blessed. But sometimes we take those blessings for granted, don't we? We just kind of take them for granted. And may God forgive us of that. Because, I mean, God just loves us so much. I mean, he loves us so much. Can you imagine the time when God and Jesus, you know, the God the Father, God the Son, of course, God the Holy Spirit as well. But can you imagine the day when God the Father says to God the Son, it's time. I'm sending you to earth. In fact, Paul tells us in the book of Romans that says that God gave up his Son. He gave him up. And I'm going to send you to earth. And son, you know exactly what's going to happen. You know how the people are going to persecute you and humiliate you and finally going to torture you and kill you. You know it. But the reason I'm doing this, son, is because you and I love those people. And they're lost. They are lost without your sacrifice. They are lost. And so Jesus comes, born in a manger of all things, comes to be our Savior, knowing that he was born to die. He was sent to be born so that he would be sacrificed on a cross, so that we can have eternal life in him. And so as we sing this invitation song, I want you to think about that. Think about those wonderful blessings that we have in Christ. And if there's something that you're dealing with now, remember, God, you know, mends the brokenhearted and he heals those wounds. Let us pray for that this morning. If there's something there that's just dealing with in life, let us pray for you. Whatever that need might be, will you please come as together we stand and we sing.